John the Weir for Spike O'Neill. Happy Friday, everybody. Congratulations on making it through another week. And thank you so much for listening to the show. I really do appreciate it, giving me a chance here on this venerated station that is Cairo. Let's just do news, Bill. It's got a bunch of stories. First one is this. Apparently, it's time to take the studs off of your tires. I have a question for you, Matt. And I know I begin a lot of conversations with you like that, but...
lots of people, when they encounter me, have many questions.
Many questions. Well, you're a man who seems like you have a lot of answers. So this is for the Seattle area. It's time to take the studs off of your tires. And the Seattle Times has a whole thing about it, how it destroys the streets and all that stuff. Because it's winter tires. Why do people need winter tires so much in Seattle?
Good question. I mean, it's not like we have a ton of icy or snowy weather.
Right, because you got some snow this year, but it was an aberration.
So I guess maybe people who live in points east, perhaps, and commute in? I don't know. That's a good question.
That's a great point. Maybe that's what it is. People living in the mountains or something and
yeah.
And coming down or I don't know, people commuting from Vancouver. I don't know. I didn't understand that, and I saw that, but
I would imagine the urban dwellers.
Probably not. It's not people actually in Seattle. So maybe it snows more outside of the city. It just made me think of this little bit from The Simpsons. It was a whole thing about how people need to take the chains off their tires because it's tearing up Main Street. God, I love that show. I think we could do a game sometime where if you could just grab random clips from The Simpsons, I could tell you exactly what episode it's from.
That is
probably do the same
knowledge.
Thing with Frasier. I think of all the shows in my life, The Simpsons is the most indelible. It's the one that formed my childhood, and it just owns my soul. Only the first 10 seasons, though. I don't even know anything outside of those. I'm not about to know.
I think for me, right, Seinfeld would take that position.
Maybe we should do this. Let's make a note to do this next week. We'll play a game where I'll play you clips from Seinfeld, and you have to guess what episode it is.
Nice.
And you do the same to me with The Simpsons. We'll schedule this for next Friday. It'll be a fun way to end the week.
Sounds fun.
All right, next thing in the news wheel. Taco Bell is adding something back to their menu. It's a throwback item, and they need you to choose it. Taco Bell's menu, as you know, isn't that involved. It's mostly just the same six or seven ingredients presented in slightly different ways, but they're getting a lot of mileage out of the changes that they make. Taco Bell just announced that they're bringing back another throwback item, and just like last year, they're letting fans decide what it is. You have to be a Taco Bell rewards member to weigh in. Look, I have no shame in admitting that I'm a glutton, and I have no shame in admitting that I would think... probably most days I eat fast food. I hate that about myself, and it probably means I'll die any day now. But even I have enough shame to not join a Taco Bell rewards group.
You would be the one person in the room.
That, to me, it reminds me of when a bacon-smelling soap came out years ago. And ooh. I was like, is this just a way to announce to the world that you've given up? Is that what that is?
Are you shopping while high?
That's probably true, too. Yeah. Hey, you know what we need? Actually, it's not even just shopping while high. It's making things while high. We need bacon flavored. And I would love a candle that smells like Gwyneth Paltrow's, you know?
Yeah. That's where that leads.
If you're a Taco Bell rewards member, you can vote once a day through their app between now and April 12th. There are two options. You can choose the beefy crunch burrito or the cool ranch Doritos Locos Tacos.
Ooh, Cool Ranch Doritos.
I didn't know they got rid of the Doritos Locos Tacos.
Last time I looked for it, it wasn't there, so I guess they did. I think they do this, though, just to keep people interested in Taco Bell. So they'll yank something off the menu and then make a big deal about bringing it back.
Yeah. It's like the McRib. You know, they could sell the McRib all year round, but they make more money. This is McDonald's, obviously. They make more money. There's not a McRib at Taco Bell, believe it or not.
That would be funny. You might think so. You roll up to the wrong place.
That's true.
You're like, hey, give me a McRib.
Yeah. Isn't that how we got Eve? Anyway, sorry. It's a religious joke, and I'm sorry. Yeah, they did that with McRib and the Shamrock Shake, which makes more sense, St. Patrick's Day and all that stuff, but they bring it back for limited times just so you'll go out and buy it more.
Yeah, that's seasonal. There's not a McRib season.
Yeah. There was a great episode of The Simpsons where he toured the country like somebody following the Grateful Dead following the McRib. All right, I'm gonna throw this out at you right now. We're going to do this right now. I'm going to name the restaurant, and then on the count of three, we're going to say what the best food item from that fast food restaurant is, okay?
Okay.
Okay, Taco Bell. 1, 2, 3. Nachos
Cool Ranch Doritos.
Cool Ranch Doritos.
Taco.
Taco thing, yeah, okay. I forgot, by the way, there's a delay, so we can't time this up, can we?
I'm like a second off. Dreaded crosstalk.
Yeah. Oh, I hate it so much. All right, fine. I will agree with you. The Dorito taco was so much. I can't believe they got rid of that. Doesn't make any sense. They had scientists working on that thing, for God's sake. They had a sleeve for it. All right, McDonald's. 1, 2, 3.
McRib.
Double quarter pounder. My wife would agree with you on the McRib. I'm a simple man, and I just like meat and bread. That's all I want. That's all I care about. And that's why I like the double quarter pounder.
Well, that's all the McRib also is. Like, it's meat and bread with a pickle.
Yeah, but it's got the sauce.
But doesn't that count as just an accoutrement to the meat? It's not really a separate item.
Can you order a McRib without the sauce?
A sauceless McRib?
Or do you get excommunicated from McDonald's?
I have never tried.
All right, Wendy's. 1, 2, 3.
Frosty.
Spicy chicken sandwich. The opposite.
For me, totally frosty. Good childhood memories.
Spicy chicken sandwich from Wendy's might be the hottest damn thing you can get at a fast food restaurant. It should not be legal to sell that at a fast food restaurant. It just shouldn't. All right, here's a question I have. I'm done with this. Are there any Seattle specific, because you've lived all over the place, like I have. But I've not lived on the West Coast. Are there like Seattle specific fast food restaurants? Of course, there's Dick's.
Yeah, that would drive. Dick's would be the first one that come to mind.
That would be it.
That's the primary.
Do you have things on the West Coast that like you didn't have when you lived in the Midwest or the South?
Well, this isn't a Seattle thing. I'm still getting to learn Seattle, so Dick's would be the only real name that I would think of there. I guess you're talking West Coast more broadly. In-N-Out used to be pretty limited to the West Coast thing.
Yeah, they're expanding a little bit.
Yeah,
I went to In-N-Out in Vegas. I didn't like it that much. I thought it was okay. I think it had been built up too much.
Last time I was in Vegas, I hit Five Guys. That was my
Guys is the same way. Five Guys is okay, but Five Guys, it's like there's people proselytizing door to door for Five Guys, telling you about how great it is. Like, if you run into anybody, if there's a new Five Guys, they'll be like, "Oh my God, I had it once in New York, and it's the best hamburger you'll ever have." And you'll have it, you'll be like, it's okay.
They have so many evangelists, they're going to have to change the name to 25 Guys.
Oh! It's good. Solid. All right, let's go to the next story in the news wheel, because I forgot that's what we're doing. Got all distracted talking about fast food. How do you know when someone is rich? Well, people were asked that question, and here are some of the answers that they gave. Wearing nice clothing without any brand identification. But as we discussed earlier, you can get to a point where you're so rich you don't have to dress nice anymore. I mean, and it makes sense when you think about it, because you have nothing to prove anymore. If you're a billionaire, Steve Jobs, wore that stupid black turtleneck and jeans all the time, right? Bill Gates, rare that you see him dressed up all swanky. See all of these billionaire NFL owners dressed in like or with weird haircuts. Dressed. When was the last time you saw Elon Musk in a suit?
Yeah, because when you're on the climb up, you've got to adhere to the dress codes to try and impress the bosses. When you're rich, you don't have to worry because you are the boss.
Yeah, so I guess it would be a way to identify the middle rich, but not the uber rich. All right, number two, they say casually having expensive hobbies like sailing, skiing, and golfing.
Polo, yeah. Also.
Polo. I would like to have water polo as my hobby, but the horses are also in the water. That's just to show how rich I am. Three, minimalist style and decor in their homes. So you're so rich you have nothing. Yeah, that guy is rich. He had jack in his house, I swear to God.
Well, remember when Elon bragged for a while that he didn't own a house? He just kind of couch surfed?
Yeah, and like he said that like a brag, and we're all like, we get it. You're evading paying taxes. That's awesome. And also because you get married and divorced so much, you don't want to lose your stuff. Great. People say teeth. Is that where?
Not in Britain.
Was this taken in Britain? Yeah. Like that's your thing is if they have nice teeth. I mean, going to the dentist twice a year is not that expensive if you have dental coverage. The quality of food they eat, spending extensive time. Even full seasons in another place. And finally, this is a weird one, but it's really interesting. Their couches don't touch the wall.
Huh.
So I guess what the idea there is their rooms are so big that the couch is in the middle of the room instead of against the wall.
Yeah, I guess so.
So that would be it. All right. You rich people and your weird, eccentric couch positioning. Mine on the ceiling. Next news story in the Wheel of News. Not really a news story, just a great study that should make you happy if you're a liar. Apparently, if you're not feeling confident, you should just fake it. A new poll found the average American feels insecure 5 times a day, but half of people who pretend to be confident say it actually makes them more confident. So if you pretend to be confident, you'll actually be more confident. A third said it's something that they do a lot. I believe in that. I do actually subscribe to the idea of faking it until you make it, and I also believe in confidence mattering so much more. And Matt, I mean, the industry that we work in, how many people have you run into? You please don't single anybody out, but I've run into a lot of people who I thought were terrible, like not really that bright and not really making any great points, but they were successful because they were just so full of themselves and so confident.
You don't have to worry about me naming names here because I can think of so many. I wouldn't know where to start. That is absolutely right. A thing.
It is. And it's, I find it less, well, I used to work at a pretty right-wing station in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And the one guy that I worked with that was great had the least amount of confidence. He was genuinely really good, but he was also incredibly insecure, and he did okay. I mean, his ratings were fine, but there were some people on that station who have now gone on to be nationally syndicated who I worked with, and I was like, you're literally reading the Drudge Report. that's your prep going into this. You're literally reading the Drudge Report, and then they would have like opinion columns from the Wall Street Journal that they would just rewrite verbatim and then just read on air.
Scary and thing I could probably name this station, but I won't.
Yes. 97.1 KFTK.
That's the one.
That is the station. Dana Lesh, now working for the NRA. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so fake it till you make it really works. Here's the thing. If you want instant confidence, here's how you get it. And I'm not even kidding. This is real. This is true. Say your name. But when you say it, put the F word in the middle. Look in the mirror.
I like this.
Deep into the soul of the person staring back at you who is quaking with fear, who thinks they can't land that job, can't ask that girl out, can't stand up for themselves to their parents and say, yes, I can, because I'm blank, f-ing blank. And I'm telling you, I don't know why it works, but it does. You just, and if you keep giving yourself a pep talk, but you just pepper that pep talk with lots of, it will work. I'm telling you, it will work. I don't know why it works. I don't know if there's any scientific proof of this. I think it's just because if somebody uses that word, they come off as more sincere. It's almost like, I don't care what anybody thinks. This is how I'm going to talk to you right now. I'm shedding all of the norms of society to get through to you. And I'm dropping the F-bomb right now. I mean, obviously I'm not, because I don't. I would like to come back to the station on Monday.
We would like you to, too. Otherwise, I'll have to do the show.
Oh. Oh. Well, that
nobody wants
the worst
that
thing in the world. Oh, come on. I would love to hear that.
Oh, there's me not being confident. No wonder.
Telling you, Matt, you're Matt Butler.
Hell yeah.
All right. You have a great voice. See, this doesn't work because of the bleeps.
Loses some of the impact.
It really does. It really does. But finally, last story in the Wheel of News. Heinz is making a ketchup-colored tattoo ink. Apparently, getting tattoos of Heinz bottles is really popular. Ed Sheeran started the trend.
Why?
And I don't know. He likes ketchup. Ketchup is one of those things that I'm not really a fan of. And when I hear people that are fans of it, it makes me think less of them, even if I again, and I know I've mentioned this before, but in case this is the first time you're hearing me, I absolutely love the Kansas City Chiefs. I worked in Kansas City for 8 years, fell in love with that team, and especially now that they're really good, absolutely love them and love Patrick Mahomes. But I will never 100% love him because he loves ketchup. Every time people are like, oh, he's perfect, he's amazing in every way, all I can think is like, yeah, but he puts ketchup on steak.
Oh dear God, no, just no.
It's like a Seinfeld thing. It's like, oh, she's beautiful, but she's got man hands. You know?
Our close talker.
Oh, he's a ketchup steak putter on her. All right, we're going to do some celebrity news. LeBron is quitting Twitter. And who is the most followed person on that godforsaken site? Talk about that. Kyra Knights, John the Weir, coming up. Kyra Knights, Jonathan Weir in for Spike O'Neill. Hey, happy Friday, everybody! God, you're playing Stevie Wonder. Is there an artist that kind of was really cool and then went to like your nerdy uncle?
That's the debate in High Fidelity about Stevie Wonder. That's the exact debate.
I don't remember that. They debate that?
Well, remember when the guy comes in and he wants to buy a copy of I Just Called to Say I Love You? And Jack Black's character rips him for that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, because he does. He went from this, you know, prodigy when he was young. He was little Stevie Wonder in the 60s, and he could just wail on the harmonica, and he had an amazing voice, and play the piano, and do everything. And then in the 70s, he was this, like, badass funk master, and, like you know, Higher Ground, and, you know, Songs in the Key of Life, all that stuff. And then, yeah, I just called to say I love you. What was the one he did? He did one with Paul McCartney too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Ebony and Ivory?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the one.
That actually, you know, the answer to that is Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney went from, I mean, maybe not the coolest Beatle, but a lot of people thought, you know, we got John and Paul and they're about even. And then Paul in the 80s just became like this dorky guy with a mullet that I don't know.
I think Paul redeemed himself, though. He's got great energy.
He has since.
He's come back.
He has since redeemed himself, but it took a while because when I was growing up in the 90s, I mean, I loved the Beatles and always have. And I remember, like, my favorite songs were Paul songs, but it wasn't cool to say you liked Paul. It was, you were supposed to like John. And, you know, like all of the cool, well, people from Seattle, the grunge guys like Kurt Cobain and Chris Cornell, all those guys were like, ah, Paul McCartney was a dork. John Lennon was cool. If you really wanted to be cool, though, you'd say George. I mean, let's be honest. He was easily the best Beatle. I don't know where I'm going with the segment. I just decided to start talking about Stevie Wonder.
We will all be uncool if we ever hit cool, we will become uncool if we live a long enough life. I guess that's kind of the point.
Right. It's the Dark Knight. You either die a hero or live long enough to be Stevie Wonder in the 80s.
Obvious Cobain quote here.
Obviously. That's my favorite one by him. That or... Well, never mind. I'm not going to start quoting dark things because that's really, really, really...
Hey, it's the way we always end the show.
We do. I think I ended the show last night praying for God to kill me.
And talking about that, whatever the zone was that's going to kill us all.
Yeah, the subduction zone. Right. That was Wednesday night.
See, we've got a running streak going.
I got a running straight. Well, okay, here's some dorky people. Here's some guys that used to be cool but are dorky now. Kiss. Ace Frehley says he'll destroy Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons unless he gets an apology. Apparently, Paul Stanley recently insulted the abilities of his former Kiss bandmate Ace Frehley and Peter Criss, and now Ace is threatening to release damaging information about Paul and Gene Simmons unless he apologizes. I don't know what that could be, considering they've kind of admitted to everything.
Yeah, I was going to say, can you possibly embarrass Gene Simmons about anything?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's one word against the other, unless you have some evidence. I don't know. Like, I don't know what you could possibly do. Oh, like, Gene's tongue isn't that long. That's a prosthetic. I don't know. That is a band that I actually could not, for the life of me, ever get into. Because Kiss is weird.
How did you spend any time around Scott Parks and not be converted?
I think Scott Parks. Man, you're doing deep dives on me here. That was a guy at a station I used to work at who was obsessed with Kiss and was in a Kiss tribute band. I think it was because of Scott Parks that I wasn't into Kiss. Like, I was maybe ambivalent towards Kiss, and then I met him, and I was like, no, I hate that band. Any band that guy likes, I hate. Here's the reason I don't like Kiss, is because their music does not match their image. It would be like if Marilyn Manson put out music that sounded like Savage Garden, or maybe Savage Garden isn't fair. But it would be like if Marilyn Manson was the Gin Blossoms. Their music was not that hard, and metal to an extent did exist when Kiss was putting stuff out. There was heavy music, but they had songs like Beth and even like, I don't know, I Want to Rock
Hard
All Night
Woman. Like
Rock
Garth
and Roll Night Party Every Day
country song.
What?
Hard Luck Woman. Garth turned that into a country song easily.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, their music did not match their image, and that's something I cannot get over. And they're, like, supposed to be, like, the diva. You know who does it? Gwar. Gwar basically took what Kiss was supposed to be and made it a real band.
Yeah.
They're horrifying, and the music is terrible, but they're fun, at least. I've never seen them. I'm trying to think of... I don't think I would ever go to a concert like that. Like, I had friends who went to a Marilyn Manson concert. And I was kind of like, I don't know that I want to have like whatever he has on stage spraying at me. I don't know what it would, you know, I don't know what would be involved, but I feel like any band where there's some kind of audience participation because something gross is going to happen on stage, I'm just not into.
Wouldn't have that happen at like Jim Blossom's concert.
No, it was amazing when they started Hey Jealousy and they brought out the gigantic that started spraying all over the place. Whew. Those guys are intense. Oh, my God. It's been a fun week. It's been a fun week. I've had a great time filling in here on the show. Matt's been amazing.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
His lack of confidence, but Matt Butler is amazing.
I'll be back on
Monday to do more stuff. Maybe we'll end more shows with me not having a topic to really talk about. Maybe that's how the show should end from now on. I don't know what we're going to talk about so far.
Why stop now?
It was fine. It was fine. All right. See you guys on Monday. Bye.